Thank you, Jago. Yeah, I'm not sure this title fits really with being a management consultant. I'm not sure that management consultants necessarily are very wise. I remember when I worked in the city, the definition of a management consultant was someone who borrows your watch to tell you the time, which I always thought was quite a good definition. But where do we look for wisdom? Well, I'm going to suggest today that the best place to look for wisdom is direct from the source of wisdom. I'm going to suggest that the source of wisdom is Jesus Christ himself. Christianity is all about a person. It's not a religion. It's not about obeying lots of rules. It's about a person, Jesus Christ, encountering that person who is God himself, and therefore, as God himself, is the source of wisdom. Jesus isn't just some sort of holder of wisdom, some sort of prophet on a hill. He is the embodiment of wisdom. And in fact, one of Jesus' closest disciples, the Apostle John, introduces his gospel account of the life of Jesus by describing Jesus as the Logos, which means the Word, the embodiment of all that is true in this world. And the wisdom of God from the beginning of time is Jesus Christ. It reminds me of, as a vicar, I have to do assemblies at local primary schools. And I've heard the story of the vicar was doing an assembly, and he had all the children around him, and he was saying, what is brown and fluffy and has a long fluffy tail and climbs up trees and eats nuts? And all of the children were silent. And then little Johnny made the mistake of scratching his ear. So the vicar said, Johnny, what's the answer? And he said, well, Vicar, I know the answer is Jesus, but it sounds like a squirrel to me. And in many ways, Johnny was right. The answer is Jesus, isn't it? And Christianity is based on knowing Jesus, and through knowing Jesus, knowing wisdom, not just a bit of wisdom, but personally knowing and relating to the source of wisdom. Therefore, I want to start with a bold claim. I want to be a little bit controversial, just so that we've got something to discuss over coffee in a minute. And I want to suggest that it is impossible to be truly wise on this earth unless you know Jesus Christ personally. It's impossible to be wise at all. I wonder if you agree with that. It's not something I've made up. It's in fact a claim that has been made for many, many thousands of years. And 3,000 years ago, a book of the Bible, the Hebrew Scriptures, called the Book of Proverbs, was written, part of what we now call the Old Testament section of the Bible. And in this proverb, right at the beginning of the book, there are 10 words. And these 10 words, I am sure, are 10 words that can radically change our lives for good. And these are the words. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Quite simply, over lunch now, I'm just going to explain that sentence and explain those four key words that are in that sentence. So I'm going to start with the word wisdom. What is wisdom? Well, wisdom is about knowing how to act when the sort of laws that we know, the rules, no longer apply. For example, when I worked at PricewaterhouseCoopers, there were rules about how much holiday I could take. There were rules about how I applied for holiday and all of that sort of structure of putting it on my timesheet and everything else. But there were no rules about where I went on holiday. PwC didn't say you must go to France or whatever. Now, my decision about where to go is a decision about wisdom. It's not about rules, it's about wisdom. Now, I could have decided to spend my holiday in Plumtree Court at my desk and spend my holiday at work. That would have been a foolish decision, but it would have been within the rules that the company had. Wisdom is about doing that. It's about beyond the rules, about how to act, how to live, how to speak in a way that is wise. And the book of Proverbs starts by defining wisdom in that way. It says, wisdom is about acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, about knowing how to act and acting as we want to act, being disciplined in our actions. It talks about wisdom being about discretion, knowing what to say, what not to say in situations. It talks about wisdom being about discernment and guidance, knowing which way to choose, which way not to choose. And we long for that, don't we? I remember when I was a little boy, I was brought up here at All Souls. I used to come here every Sunday. And we had, it was before the days of CDs, but we had these little records, little single records for children. They were sort of multicolored. My favorite was the story of Peter Rabbit. I used to play that over and over again. And the story of Peter Rabbit on the record ends with a song, which I thought I'd sing for you this lunchtime. So sorry about that. And the song goes, "Why do I do it? What can it be? There's naughtiness in everyone, but twice as much in me. I'd give the world, if only I could, just for a while, just for one day, just if I could be good." And that's how the song goes. And it tickled me as a child, because I thought, that's what I want as well. Peter sings that song, having had a disastrous day and eaten all the vegetables in Mr. McGregor's garden and all of that sort of stuff, and he'd been sent to bed without any tea, and then he sings that song. And that is what we long for, isn't it? Long for that wisdom and maturity of outlook, which brings us to the second of our key words. The proverb says there is a beginning to wisdom. Now that might seem relatively obvious, but actually I'm not sure that's the way we often think. That the fact that wisdom has a starting point, there is something that unlocks our view on the world and unlocks our view to being a wise view. Now, if you go to Borders after lunch, there are shelf loads, aren't there, of books of sort of self-help techniques. And that's what we tend to think about in terms of wisdom. Take that technique off the shelf, put it in my bag, take that technique. And we have a sort of whole smorgasbord of different wise sayings and techniques. But this proverb says, before the techniques, there's a source, there's a beginning, a starting point to wisdom. And if you don't start at the right place, you'll never be wise. You'll never unlock that true vision of what the world is about. Wisdom is about seeing reality, seeing the world as it really is, not the false reality that we're told to believe in. The proverb says, the beginning of wisdom, the door that takes us out of this imprisoned view where the world is very, very bleak. There is no God. There is nothing above us, as John Lennon used to sing, and below us only earth or something. There's nothing. Just imagine, he says, if the world was the world without God. But that is a false reality. And wisdom is about breaking through that falsehood and seeing the truth that there is a God. And that brings us to the next part of our proverb. It is the fear of the Lord that is that key that unlocks the door so that we can see reality. The fear of the Lord is the beginning, the source of wisdom, a wise view of the world, seeing that there is a God, a creator. The Bible starts with the sentence, "In the beginning, God." In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And wisdom is about starting at that point, saying, yes, there is a beginning to this creation. There is a purpose behind it. And that purpose is not just me. I'm not the beginning. There is a God who created me and has purposes for me, wants to relate to me. Our problem is that in our foolishness, we reject that so quickly. We are like Leonardo DiCaprio on the bow of Titanic, sort of putting our arms out and saying, "I'm king of the world," or whatever he shouted out. But that is a statement of total unreality. No, there is a king of the world, but it's not us. It's God himself. Therefore, the key to wisdom is recognizing that God and then holding on to that God, asking him to be king of our life as well. I remember a friend of mine called Raj, who is a city lawyer, and I got to know him, and he was did a Christianity Explored course at the church I was a part of. And at the weekend away, Raj went off on his own, and he, for the first time, he prayed to God, and he asked God to just make himself known to Raj, and he asked God to give him that gift of forgiveness that Raj had been hearing about during the course. And he asked God to give him insight into the reality of God's unconditional forgiving love for him. And nothing happened. There were no fireworks or anything else. But Raj told me when he got back from his walk, and we agreed to meet the next day on the Monday evening after work. And he bounced into the place where we were meeting and said, "Andrew, an amazing thing happened to me on the way to work this morning. I was going down the hill to the train station, and I suddenly realized that the metal boxes driving past me had people in them. And I sort of think, I wonder if they live around here. I wonder how they are today. And then I went to the train station, and at the barrier there was a man with a uniform on. I thought, I wonder if he lives in Battersea as well. I wonder if he knows about the church that I've got to know. I wonder if he knows this news about the Lord Jesus that I've heard. Then he went to his office in Fleet Street, and this big glass and steel building, and he went in to reception, and he realized to his amazement there were people behind a desk. And he thought, I wonder what their names are. I wonder how they are. I wonder if they know about the Lord Jesus. Suddenly, what changed? Wasn't suddenly he became very wise, but he saw everything with wise eyes. He saw that it's all about people, this world. He saw reality, and he saw people that matter to God. He saw people with God's eyes of compassion and of love. Wisdom is about seeing reality from God's eternal perspective. So that's the challenge of this proverb, because the proverb says it is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. Not just knowing about God. Lots of people in this country, most people, if you meet them, they say, yeah, I know a bit about God, and I know a bit about Jesus, and he died on a cross, and all that sort of stuff. But do you recognize that? To fear God doesn't mean to be scared of God. To fear means to have a rightful attitude, to acknowledge him as the ruler of the world. If you were to meet the Queen, to go to Buckingham Palace this afternoon and meet the Queen, you wouldn't just rock into her room and say, hi Liz, nice to see you, mate, and slap her over the shoulder with your arm or whatever it happens to be. If you did, you'd probably get chopped off by the guards or whatever. No, you'd come to her and you'd bow, and you'd have that rightful attitude towards her. And the same, do we have that attitude towards God? It's so easy just to take God for granted, to think, yeah, I'll receive everything that you've given in this world, and I'll enjoy that, but I'm not really interested in relating to you. When I was at PwC, we had a thing called a CLM, which stood for a career-limiting move. And there were various ways that you could perform a CLM in the office. The easiest way, Elizabeth was my boss, and if I said to her, if Elizabeth asked me to do something, and I said, no, Elizabeth, I'm not going to do that, that's stupid, and I don't want to anyway. If I did that, that would be a CLM, a career-limiting move. Elizabeth would say, there's a door over there, Andrew, walk through it and have a nice life. But there was another way I could perform a CLM with Elizabeth. She could ask me to do something, and I could say, okay, and then just ignore it and not do that. And that's often how we treat God. We just ignore him. We don't acknowledge him in a rightful way. The Christian writer A.W. Tozer puts our culture's attitude to wisdom like this. He says, future historians will record that we of the 20th century had intelligence enough to create a great civilization, but not the moral wisdom to preserve it. We've got intelligence, but do we have moral wisdom? Do we see things with God's perspective? Wisdom begins by acknowledging that God is God, and then acknowledging I'm not, therefore, God. I can't solve the mess of this world on my own. I can't live my life in the way that I want to on my own. That I need God's help. I need his forgiveness. I have made a mess of my life. I have rejected God. I've caused a barrier of separation in my relationship between me and God. I have separated myself from God. I need his help. The fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, is seeing that, acknowledging our need of God. And if you go on the tube often, I'm sure you do. I remember last summer at Farringdon Station, just the tube station just by our church, they were offering free bottles of water, and I was in a hurry. It was a hot summer's day, and they're offering all passengers free bottles of water. And I just thought, oh, I haven't got time for that, and I'll be fine. I rushed past them and darted onto a train, and the train got stuck in a tunnel. And what do you think I thought about that water? I regretted it bitterly. I thought, I'm fine. I can do what I want, and then came up short. The wise person is the person who says, yeah, I need God's forgiveness. I need the water of life, the water of a relationship, restored relationship with God. The fool is the person who says, there is no God, or I'm God, I'm fine, on my own. Acknowledging God as creator and as saviour is the truly wise statement, the wise source of wisdom. And the Bible says that wisdom is shown ultimately in that God has acted so we can be restored into relationship with him. The power of God, the wisdom of God is shown in God saying, I will pay by sending my son Jesus Christ. I will pay by dying in your place. Pay for all your wrongdoing, all your unwise actions, all your rebellion, all your CLMs. I will pay for that so you can be restored. The wise person is the person who holds on to that message and knows the transforming power of God's forgiving, restoring love. What is wisdom? Wisdom is about knowing I'm a forgiven child of God, having that strength, that contentment, that purpose, that eternal future, that security, all of those amazing gifts that enable us to be wise in action come from that source, the source of fearing the Lord, acknowledging and holding on to him. So that's our challenge. Are we wise? Do we know the source of wisdom? Do we acknowledge God as the one who provides, the only one who can provide that forgiving life that restores our vision of what the world really is and who we are?